Yes, sir. Welcome to our podcast. This is your host, Joseph Perez.
This is your co-host, Matthew Escobar.
And we are here at the studio. Man, I should have pressed the record button a long time ago. We've already been kind of
dropping some bombs,
talking about some good stuff. So we're going to get into it today. What's up, Matt? How is it going? How was your weekend?
It was good.
I didn't see you all weekend.
It was good. Hung out with some family, hung out with some friends, did some evangelism, knocked on some doors, got two numbers, 11 houses visited. My home Bible study went well. Second home Bible study, fully in Spanish. That was a blessing. All 10 of them came, two families in one house. They all came to church that next Sunday. And I'm excited. I'm going to see this family one. But hopefully, Lord willing, in Jesus' name, we're going to see this family one.
It's amazing because it's not something that just happened overnight. This is something that has been two to three years in the making.
Because we would take groceries to them during COVID.
Yeah. That's when we started everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And it was, man. We had 14 first-time guests Sunday, which is crazy. And we've said this here on the podcast before, like anytime we're actively praying and we're actively evangelizing, we're always going to have visitors.
Always.
And this isn't the first time we've had, like, we had at one point, like, 26 visitors on one given Sunday. First time guests.
Yeah.
When we did that baby dedication.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
We had just, like, all these. And it was funny. We had 26 visitors and we had 26 people in attendance. and that's kind of how ministry has gone for us here in PIA. But it is amazing to see. And I think God proves himself every single time we get in those like moments of frustration where we question, like, man, are we doing what we're supposed to? Are we in the will of God? And then God just like boom dumps like a family or two families on us and we're like, okay, I guess
all right, God.
Yeah, I guess we'll keep going.
Noted.
Shall we continue? You know?
Yeah.
And but that was amazing. We had an amazing service. It really felt Sunday was special, man. You know, because I really felt like barriers were being broken.
Yeah.
And then even Bible study Tuesday, I felt like people were being on not on our end, but on their end, the people that were coming.
Attentive.
They were engaging.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't just listening to the Bible study, but many stayed to fellowship afterwards.
Yeah.
Normally they're gone before the Bible study's over. Or they don't even stay for the Bible study, but not only did they stay through the whole study, but they stayed after, they were fellowshipping.
Nodding during the Bible study.
Yeah, acknowledging. And then they were, I had one lady in particular that connected with my wife, and she just offered to help my wife cook the food. And so that was kind of a first. So there was a lot of things that were happening that don't normally happen on Tuesday nights. And again, it wasn't a one-time thing. This is something we've been doing for 2 years, and we're finally seeing kind of we found our rhythm.
Yeah, there's a groove that's definitely different.
And so it's exciting, man. Like I'm looking back, and this is kind of retrospect. There's a lot of things I wish we would have started doing sooner.
Yeah.
But everything kind of happens for a reason. I was talking to Kami about this last night. If you look at how everything has transpired in the 5 years of PIA's ministry, the 5 years of its continuity, because I know before your dad came and he kind of got it off the ground and got the vision at least cast, mm-hmm. right? But then there was a couple years where nothing really was happening within the ministry. outside of vision casting,
mm-hmm.
right? Outside of just promoting the Spanish work, promoting a Spanish work. And so when we came and we started the work, really like the first year and a half, we didn't even have in a Sunday service. The first year and a half, there was no Sundays. It was just purely midweek Bible study. And on that midweek Bible study, we had grown to a great number. It was probably around 40, I think, the last.
We would run 50 sometimes.
Yeah. So that was, point. Well, the first wave was, I think it was around 40. The first wave of people that came in.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's then right, actually.
We went through the pandemic. And when we got to the pandemic, we were still connected with everyone. And that's when we really began our online presence, because we didn't have an online presence until really the pandemic. And what was crazy was before the pandemic hit, we had kind of strategized over how we would be like creating a social media presence. And it kind of, the pandemic kind of almost like accelerated that. Because we didn't have a choice. Now, at that point, we had to be on social media because everything was being done via social media, via Zoom or via live stream. So that kind of second to third year was just a kind of a blot. Because even when church reopened, when the building reopened, even at that point, we did not come back. The Spanish church did not come back. Until months after, because everything happened in phases as far as like reopening. The city didn't reopen altogether. They were like, hey, we'll allow you to reopen, but you can only have so many service or you can only have so many people. And so that kind of limited what we could do. So then at that point we were like, well, we can't have service through the week because, you know, the rules, the regulations, and looking back, it was all just kind of silly, but, and it wasn't anything that we could control because it was a mandate from the city. They were, you know, kind of threatening for repercussions and different things. So we did the best thing that we knew to do, which was to, you know, acquiesce and trust God. So, but then when we got back, we were like, well, let's not do midweek. Let's go ahead and launch our Sunday services.
Yeah, because before COVID, we were planning on, I think it, we were planning on doing it in the summer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit.
Of 2020.
Yeah, of 2020. And COVID hit here in the city of Knoxville around April, March. Or no.
It was March. It was right after Mission Impossible.
Yeah, because it was right, because my birthday is March 8th, so it was right after Mission Impossible, which I think was like the 10th or the 11th. We were planning on starting the Sunday service that June.
Yeah.
And then that put everything on hold and fast forward, whatever. We come out of COVID.
Yeah, so we came out of COVID and we started our Sunday service as well. At that point, we had begun remodeling the sanctuary that we're in today, and which, you know, and it was an exciting thing. However, it really put us in a kind of weird predicament because some Sundays we could have service here and then some Sundays we couldn't. So the Sundays we couldn't, we were moving to a smaller room or the cafeteria, and it didn't hurt us, but it didn't necessarily help us. I would say it helped us and it hurt us at the same time. It hurt us in the sense of like there was no consistency. It helped us in the sense of, well, we kind of had to tighten up on, you know, some of the procedures and some of the things we were, our services, the order of our service. And, you know, we were YouTubing all of our worship and then we'd have like, it was just, so anyways.
It was a season.
So that season, right, where we began the Sunday service. And then too, we were like, we were changing our service hours because we started off at a certain time. It turned out to be for us a terrible time because it didn't really give us any time to recuperate. Yeah,
energize
between services. Because mind you, we're doing Sunday morning and then our Sunday afternoon is Spanish, and then we're still attending the Sunday evening service. So it kind of like, it was just, we did it early and then it didn't work because it was just too much at once. So we just moved it back and now we're at a 4 p.m. service, which has worked for us. But it took us a while to find our groove. And then not only that, really, it wasn't until 2022 that we started to see a really faithful attendance to Sunday service. Mm-hmm. In 2022, we won a family of about 15 and baptized 15, won every Sunday for 15 Sundays consecutively, which was awesome. In 2022, we had already had kind of our Tuesday night evangelism, which was, it was kind of the cause of the revival we were in. And then we were doing, we started 6 a.m. prayers then. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like
sporadic.
It wasn't as consistent as it is now. And so like me and my wife were talking about that. And I said, man, you know, everything, every phase, every transition of this ministry has been, whether we realize it or not, has been intentional, because each phase has set us up for the next thing, mm-hmm. right? The first phase set us up for that social media online presence. The second phase set us up for our Sunday services. Our Sunday services set us up for evangelism and prayer. And now evangelism and prayer is setting us up for growth, mm-hmm. which is just like, it kind of just all these building blocks, right? They're not as spontaneous as they may seem or sporadic as they may seem, they're intentional. And me and my wife were talking about this last night, which is, you know, how that these things have kind of happened. And we, at the time, not seeing it, not realizing it, were becoming frustrated with how the church was progressing. And we really didn't see the progress. You know, even as of late, we're like, well, we don't really see progress. But then you look at everything we're doing, we're like, well, actually, we are progressing and we are growing. And maybe we're not growing at the rate that we would like to see, but we're growing into this ministry.
Yeah. And I would say, as someone that's been part of this ministry in particular since 2018, it's definitely been a ministry to grow into. It's grown me in ways that I can't even explain. It's challenged me. It's been a key factor in my life since I've turned into an adult really, since I've been 18. And even though I'm a young adult, young minister, it's been honestly a pillar in my life. And with that, I don't think I would be, not that I'm anything, but I don't think that would be who I am today, honestly, without it.
Speaking of young minister, kind of turning the page here, we have some exciting news. So this podcast primarily began as a podcast for young ministers, and it's going to stay that way. But
he's not firing me.
Yeah, we're letting Matthew go. We're promoting him to yeah.
Hold yeah, on. You know, I just feel like it. Yeah, it's time to move on. No, I'm just kidding.
He's going to start a Facebook fan page, so he's going to run our Facebook.
Yeah. MatthewEscobarProphecy.com.
Yeah, book him for your next revival. Do you even want to grow if you don't have Matthew Escobar? So what we're kind of working on is rebranding, and then not just rebranding, but kind of
expanding.
So I do bilingual. I have Spanish episodes and I have English episodes. And we kind of were kind of brainstorming, and we thought that the best way to continue is to separate the Spanish podcast and the English podcast. And so in order to do that, we're going to rebrand it, and we've come up with a name. We've come up with the name of the podcast that me and Matthew are going to continue, which is called the
Aspire Podcast for Young Ministry.
Yeah. So Aspire, as you know, I've always the theme behind that is I've always considered myself an aspiring minister, even till this day. Like, I still consider myself an aspiring minister. And, you know, I really feel like the things that we discuss on here are helpful, even if all they do is give you perspective or help you see through someone else's experience or through real-time experience. One thing that me and Matthew offer on the podcast is we're giving you real-time experience. It's not something that happened 10 years ago. It's something that's happening now.
Like 2 days ago.
2 days ago. You know, Matthew's in his journey as a young minister to grow, to become everything God's called him to become. And I am as well. I'm a little further along than he is, but we're in this journey together and we're growing together and we challenge each other. And so Matthew keeps me young and I try to keep Matthew humble.
We were talking about it before we started recording. There's some people, they have this influence and they're in the clouds and then they forget this. They forget to remember that their feet are still on the floor.
Yes. Yeah. We walk on clouds in ministry and forget we're still walking in the ground. Sometimes the clouds isn't the clouds of the air. It's the fog of the ground and the fog of everything that's happening around you. The praises, the accolades, the pat on the back, the proverbial attaboy.
Great word.
Yeah. And you don't realize you still have to be grounded.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing, you know, we want to try to give you enough, I guess, experience, advice to help you in your journey as you aspire to be what God called you to be. Even if it's just creating a tangible or an openness. And when I say tangible, I mean something that's something you can reach, right? Something that's within your reach. Sometimes we portray ministry as this out of reach object, like, oh, I'll never be able to do it. I'll never be able to. It's like, no, you can. You can be, you know, used of God in a great way, on a great platform, and God can lift you up, and He can cause you to become the next, you know, renowned preacher, and you can insert whatever name you think belongs there. But however, we want to just, you know, offer a realness and an authenticity. And we talked about that last week, so plug for last week's episode. You know, go listen to that. That was a great conversation that we had about authenticity. So that's kind of the goal. And then, you know, on the Spanish one, I'm going to continue that on my own, me and my father. And I have other guest Spanish-speaking ministers, pastors that are going to be on that one. It's going to be more of a dedicated to Spanish ministries. And this podcast, Aspire, is going to be it's going to be more focused on young ministry. And by young ministry, I don't mean just young ministers. I mean just young ministry, anything that's launching, anything that's starting off the ground, anything that's, you know, whether it's your preaching ministry or your youth ministry or your Bible study ministry or if you're a church planner, you know, whatever it may be that is just starting off, we want to kind of offer some insight. We want to kind of, not that we have it all figured out, not that we have the answers. Again, our perspective is just real time. You know, we're in this ministry that's growing, evolving, and we're giving you kind of the real-time experience, real-time knowledge, information, and yeah.
So this will be the last episode that me and Joseph record together on Joseph's podcast. The next episode, you'll have to subscribe, go find, go like, share, subscribe, post on whatever media of Aspire, and that'll be the page name. And also too, I kind of wanted to say this because I've had to learn this, and it's something that You really shouldn't feel this way, but, you know, you're human and sometimes you do. But to say a young minister or a young ministry, that's not a negative thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people say, oh, yeah, I'm not a young minister. They feel that they've outgrown that title of young ministry. And that's not something to be self-conscious about. It's not anything that's bad. Because Pastor Joseph, how long have you been in the ministry?
10 years, going on 10 years.
And he still says that he's a young minister, and he's a pastor of a church.
Yeah, think about this. Bishop McCool is celebrating 70 years of ministry.
No, 75.
75 years of ministry. Like, yeah, I'm a young minister.
Yeah,
I'm a baby.
Yeah, you've got 6.5 decades left to catch up.
Exactly.
So that term, young ministers, it doesn't mean that you're not any less respected, any less viewed as of importance, but in the grand scheme of things, a young minister.
Yeah, and so that's the reason we're going with aspire. You know, because we're not just young ministers, we're aspiring ministers. We aspire to be everything God's calling us to be, and we want to fulfill God's call and purpose in our life. There's a great book right now that you could purchase, you can go get, and I recommend it.
The Bible.
And it's by, what's his name? I know his name.
What's the title?
The Power to Become.
Oh, Brother Collins, right?
Brother Collins.
Pastor
Stephen Collins. Yeah. How do I forget that name?
Come on, man.
That he's the man. He's the legend. So Pastor Stephen Collins wrote a youth ministry book, but it's not really even youth ministry. I think it's beyond youth ministry. It's for anyone that's looking to fulfill their purpose and their calling. And it's this book called The Power to Become. And it is a great resource for youth ministry, but at the same time, any aspiring minister, I think it's a great book for you to dive into, because it deals with that, the essence of becoming, right? And that's what I feel like Aspire podcast will be, is it's going to have the essence of becoming, being everything God called you to be.
Yeah. And it's also kind of cool too, because if you've been a listener from this podcast, you remember, because when we were recording in that other room, you remember whenever we had like a buzz on our episode, the rough times. But also too, it's kind of cool because, again, it's named Aspire. And in this time personally, like within my personal ministry, I've been aspiring and I'm still aspiring.
Yeah, that's that real time.
Yeah, but like
real time data.
But yeah, it's real time. Cold, hard facts.
He can still fail, guys.
He can still at any second.
And you guys will be a part of it.
Yes. And you will see that crash and burn. Just
yeah, man. What happened to Matthew? He's just like, man, you know what? He was on the podcast and then he wasn't.
Just like that in a snap of a finger. No, but actually, like the fact that I've been in the Spanish church, Spanish ministry for 5 years now, and I'm just now on my way of learning the language fully, of fully kind of stepping into a more solidified role, growing up, graduating school, you know, all of those things that have a mix and a play within ministry. So it's just cool.
Yeah, it is. You know, I was, and this is probably a negative, and I don't mean to bring a negative to the podcast, but you heard recently about the Hillsong scandal. Have you? No. Okay. Well,
I don't really pay attention to Hillsong. I'm not saying.
I know what you mean. Well, it was a massive scandal. It's hard kind of to dismiss.
Was it the one that was laundering money?
No. No. It's so, you ever heard the name Carl Lentz?
Sure.
Justin Bieber's pastor.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. That rings a bell. Bieber's pastor.
So this guy Carl Lentz, he was the pastor of Hillsong New York. And this is kind of, it became a huge talk. This is old news, by the way. This is not something that just happened. Old news. But I remember I was on YouTube, and this video came up, and it talked about how that he was exposed, that he had been unfaithful to his wife, and it came out all over every social media network and every news outlet. They were reporting on this mega church pastor that had this huge influence. He was known as the celebrity pastor, And anyways, he falls into sin, he resigns, and then he gets fired. And then it opens up the floodgates to all of this, like, exposure on Hillsong, the Hillsong Church. And so as I was, you know, listening to different podcasters, non-denominational podcasters, and even secular podcasters talk about this, this man that had just basically gone from nothing to becoming one of the most influential people in Christendom, right? He was
Christendom?
Yeah, he was the guy that spelled that.
Spell Christendom.
Yeah. So he was the guy that he was basically your success story.
Mm-hmm.
And also
from rags to riches.
Exactly. And literally riches. I mean, this guy was wearing sweaters that cost $10,000 to $15,000. He's wearing shoes that cost $4,000 to $5,000. You know, there was a social media page that was created. It was called Preachers and Sneakers. And it's actually, I think it still exists, so you can go look it up. But it shows you all of these celebrity pastors and mega church pastors wearing like this extravagant, like super lavish lifestyle. So anyways, my whole point to all this was, you know, Brian Houston. Yeah, Brian Houston, he just pulled up the Instagram.
The page still exists.
Brian Houston, the guy that created Hillsong. I was listening to the origins of Hillsong's
conception.
Yeah. His dad started a church back in like the 60s, 70s, and it was a small church. And Brian Houston kind of took it over there in Sydney, Australia. And it was just a small, just not small, but it was kind of a 300-member church, right? And he took this church and he put out like this mission statement, which was called The Church That I See. And he talked about all the things that he wanted to do, how he wanted to fill stadiums, how he wanted to take his music department to the next level, how he wanted to train and develop leaders, how he wanted to have not just influence where he was, but influence all across the world. And mainly he wanted to have a great influence in America, in the United States. And so this guy literally opened churches all over the world. And then he decided, well, I'm gonna go into the United States. Well, he had great success. I mean, almost every song we sing, even in our church today, is a stem from Hillsong.
Yeah. At one point or another, your church has sang a Hillsong song.
No, not just at one point. Literally, like if you look at every song that you sing and you look at the origins of that song, who wrote it? If it's not a James Wilson song, it probably came from Hillsong. I mean, that's the truth. They basically cornered the market on worship music.
Monopolized it.
Exactly. And so this is not a, Hillsong is bad, and this is not what I'm getting at. My whole point is this. This guy set out to do something. He had a vision for it, and he did it. He accomplished it. And I was talking to my wife about this last night because it kind of hit me really hard because, you know, we always think about, man, I want to reach my goal. I want to get to where I know what God called me to do. I want to do that. I want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we sometimes forget the how we get there is just as important as getting there. And this man, Brian Houston, has built a massive influence, and he's also destroyed a lot of lives along the way, whether it was directly or indirectly. And I think sometimes your ambition can become greater than your aspiration. Mm. And when your ambition becomes greater than your aspiration, that's when you're like an 18-wheeler that's just going full throttle.
No brakes. Downhill.
You know, and I think aspiration, it's much more cautious. I heard one of the greatest messages I've heard this year by Cody Marks. It was called the what's the title? Well, anyways, he talked about walking softly and humbly, but also walking with confidence, knowing that God is with you. Having that, it was called the counterpoise of can and can't. And he talked about how that you can't do anything without God, but with God, you can do all things. And that was the premise of his message. And so to me, that's what aspiring is. You know, I think in the secular world, you can have a lot of success if you're very ambitious. But in the kingdom, ambition can kill you. Mm. And ambition, it may not kill you. It may not kill your ministry. You may achieve everything you want to achieve, but you'll leave a trail of bodies and a trail of damages.
Well, we see in the Bible the person that had, or the individual that had too much ambition, the son of the morning, Lucifer.
Yes.
And look what happened to him.
Yeah. And so, again, you know, ambition can destroy, and it's very destructive. But aspiration, I think aspiration in a sense is more so the willingness to lay aside your ambition, but also it's the strength to do exactly what God's calling you to do.
Yeah. So the word as defined by Google is aspire, direct one's hope or ambitions toward achieving something.
Yeah.
So there's a direction.
Yeah, you're directing your ambition. It's not just reckless ambition.
Or just aimless, just shooting in the dark.
That's good stuff right there, bro.
Let me write that down real quick.
Oh, let's start this podcast over. But yeah, so anyways, we wanted to just kind of drop that today. We're going to be working on releasing this podcast and start kind of putting all of our content on this new Aspire podcast. So just, you know, I'm going to make a post about it on social media. Also, my social media page is going to be revamped. So I'm going to make an announcement on there. It's no longer going to be Joseph's podcast. Everything will be rebranded.
An era coming to an end.
Yeah. I mean, not an end, but evolving, right?
An era growing. Coming to an evolution.
Say it again. We'll say that one more time.
And
yeah. Thank you. So anyways, I meant to press the music button.
And yeah, that's what happens whenever he bleeps me out.
You know. Yeah, go follow Aspire
Podcast. It's going to be great. Also, too, with this, it kind of gives us more liberty to kind of have a general census. We can bring in guests, kind of bring in, expand the topics more so. And that way, I might do some episodes myself with other ministers. Pastor Joseph might do episodes himself or with other ministers that do not include me. So I'm excited. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Thank you guys again for joining our podcast. And we hope that God blesses you. We hope this was a blessing. And again, man, help us spread the word. I mean, if you enjoy this podcast, share it with somebody. And yeah. Let's go.